Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes we need power beyond ourselves, things that we can't provide for ourselves, and the Holy Spirit is at work in our life to help provide that. We talked last week, in fact, we talked about this need that we have oftentimes to open the door for the Spirit to come in. We talked about how important that is, that there's no knob on the outside of that door where Jesus is knocking. We're supposed to open the door to let him in. But how do you do that? And that's one of the things that today's scripture passage addresses. But it also addresses a number of other things about what the Holy Spirit is. And if you're having trouble following the passage, it's because it's kind of circular in a way. It's this circular argument. It's hard to know exactly where to get a handle on it. It reminds me of a problem that I have from time to time, no matter how hard I try. I carry my keys with me. I ditch most everything else before I come into worship. I try to make sure that I don't have a cell phone that'll go off in the middle of the worship service, but I never want to forget to carry my keys because you can't do anything without them, right? You can't go anywhere. I feel as though if I don't have my keys, that I'm utterly helpless. And so over the years, I've developed this reflex of every time I walk through a doorway, I reach to make sure that I've got my keys with me. If I ride with somebody else to Walmart or to a restaurant or something, and I come out of the door, I reach and I grab my keys, even though I'm not driving. You know? Anybody else ever do that? Oh, thank you. I'm not as old and senile as I feel sometimes, I get. But has anybody else ever lost their keys? Yeah, is there a worse sense of panic in life than feeling, oh my gosh, I can't find my, how am I going to get in the house? How am I going to get in the car? How am I going to get in my office? How am I even going to get home to get help? Because the keys are gone. And if there's anything worse than that, it is when you finally figure out where they are and you realize they're locked inside the office, that you don't have a key to get in, right? We call it a catch-22. It's a circular problem where you can't solve it without solving it first, right? And so we talk about how important it is that we open this door for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And we're grateful that at last we find a scripture that opens that up to us. How does this happen? It's closed again. Jesus says in this passage, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, and the Spirit will come. I'll ask the Father, and he'll send another advocate, is what he says actually. If we obey, then the Spirit will come. Fantastic. Now I know where the key is. It's locked inside on the other side of the door. That's the problem, isn't it? Because obedience is hard. And we need that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in some ways to be able to obey. In fact, if you were to follow this passage on to the end of the next chapter, you'd find that Jesus says as much. He says, when I send the Spirit of truth, it'll come to you, and it will remind you of all of the things that I've taught you. Wonderful. Now I can remember all the commandments. No way I can't without the Holy Spirit, which I can only access if I'm obedient, which is only fair, right? I mean, I have people come to my office from time to time looking for help. Sometimes they're people from outside the church. And they, you know, they'll say, you know, I know that I need God's help in my life. But I don't feel God's presence. What do I do? And what they want all of the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit, but they don't want to hear the answer to the question of what they need to do to get there. I say, well, where do you go to church? Well, why would I go to church? I don't feel the presence of God in my life. Well, because God told you to? Maybe if we begin with obedience, maybe the Spirit will begin to bless. And I think those of us who eventually have found a way to cross the threshold discover that to be true, that the more deeply we obey and the more thoroughly we follow, the more God's blessings and the blessings of the Holy Spirit begin to flow in our lives. But those first steps, that first one across the threshold, that opening of the door, how do I get there without the Holy Spirit's help, without some voice in me telling me what it is I need to do next? We had a flat tire back in November. We were on our way to Louisville, had a flat tire. I got the car jacked up. I got the lug nuts off, which is usually where I fall down, you know, just getting that first couple of twists on the lug nut. But I got the lug nuts off, and this never happened before in all the tires I've changed over. I had the lug nuts off, but the wheel still would not come loose. I don't know what was going on. I could not get the wheel off. And so I said, I don't know. We're just going to have to sit here until, I don't know. She says, well, why don't you call AAA? I said, well, that's a great idea. I'd forgotten about AAA. We had gotten a flyer in the mail a couple of months ago, and Kim said, you know, we're getting ready to travel. We should probably go ahead and get AAA. I said, that's a great idea. I said, I'm so glad that you sent that in. She said, oh, I thought you sent it in. All right, and in that moment, it's too late to send it in. We don't have an agreement with them. We don't have a contract with them. We have not paid our dues. And it's too late for me to wish that AAA would come sweeping into the rescue. It's only fair that God would ask us to take some of the first steps of obedience to begin to receive His blessings in our life. And yet those first steps are just, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to do. It's a circular problem. The key is locked in the room. But if we look at some of the other things that this passage teaches us about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life, I think we can find our way in. Hang with me for just a few moments. What Jesus says is, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And I'll send an advocate, it says in the NIV. The Greek word is paraclete, and it's a compound word. And what it means is, I'll send someone to walk along with you. Someone that is called like, you know, Kaleo is called, ekaleo is church, called out, and parakaleo is Holy Spirit, the one who's called to walk with us. And so he said, if you obey my commandments, I'll send someone to walk along with you. And that's good news all by itself. I mean, some people say that's all the news I need. I don't need the Holy Spirit to do anything except just to be there and assure me that God is present in my life. That whatever else might be true of me as a Christian, You know, I may be faithful, I may be unfaithful, I may be rich, I may be poor, I may be joyous, I may be sad and depressed, but whatever else I may be as a Christian, I am never, ever alone. That God is always present with me, whatever I'm going through. That's good news all by itself. And yet it still leaves me on the wrong side of the door, doesn't it? I mean, now misery loves company, and I got somebody to be with me while I'm trying to get my keys out of there, but I'm still stuck in a way because I haven't reached that place of obedience. There are other translations for that word parakaleo, and like I said, the NIV says advocate. And in the Greek language of Jesus' day, that was a technical term. It, for lack of a better parallel, let me say lawyer. The parakaleo, the paraclete was the one who would go with you in a legal situation and represent you and try to get you an acquittal. Try to move you beyond being found guilty. And this idea works real well with our theology of the atonement, isn't it? Because we understand that what God wants to do in our life, even though we are sinners, is to overlook that. Somehow through the blood of Jesus Christ to say, yes, you're sinners, yes, you're guilty, but it's okay, it's forgiven, it's taken care of, it's gone. And so to have this notion of the Holy Spirit as the one who intercedes with God and gets us off the not guilty verdict is good, but it still leaves me on the wrong side of the door. It's not enough to say you don't have to obey because you're forgiven. Because Jesus has called me to obey the commandments. How do I do that? Or some people think of the idea of advocate. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and He takes my prayers and He whispers them right into the Father's ear. And so, and Paul talks in the book of Romans about the Holy Spirit taking our moans and groans and turning them into prayers that God can hear and understand. So maybe there's this prayer in my soul. I'm praying a prayer all the time that I don't even know I'm praying, and the Holy Spirit is whispering it into God's ear and making it all okay. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. But it still doesn't solve the problem of obedience, does it? Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey, and I will send the advocate. And ultimately, he says, this is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of truth will remind you of everything I have taught you. And we have traditionally understood that to mean that the Spirit of truth will remind us what we're supposed to do in life. But I want to turn that over for a moment because Jesus taught us so much more than just what to do, didn't he? What if that everything that the Holy Spirit is supposed to remind us is not about obedience necessarily, it's not about the things we're supposed to do, but it's about who we are? In the passage it was just read to us, I'll send you the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans, it says. That is a powerful word. I will not leave you as orphans. You will not be fatherless or motherless. You will not be without parents. I'll send you the Holy Spirit, and it will remind you of everything that I taught you, including the fact that you are my child. And that's a much more profound truth than simply being forgiven or having gotten off from our sins because of some theological technicality. It's not about not guilty. It's about you're mine. You belong to me. I remember my boyhood pastor, Howard Olds, used to tell a story about his early ministry. He was serving a little church, and there was a woman in the church who had a grown son that kept popping back up at home. And he would go to visit from time to time, and the story was in kind of a constant loop. You know, she would bail him out of jail, he would get back in jail. She would get him into rehab, he'd come out of rehab, he'd crash again. He was always in trouble of some kind or another, and she was always the one dragging him out, putting him back in his bedroom, cooking for him, getting him back on his feet, and sending him back out in the world. And so one day he's visiting with her, and he's home again. And she is talking about the trials of raising this rebellious child. And he said, finally, I broke and said what I've been wanting to say for years. He said, ma'am, I'm going to be honest with you. If that was my boy, I'd kick him out of this house. And she leaned forward and said, well, you've been honest with me. I'll be honest with you. If that was your boy, I'd kick him out of this house too. He's not your boy. He's mine. And that makes a difference. It's not the work that the Holy Spirit does as our advocate is not so much to tell us what it is we have to do, but to remind us who we are and whose we are. And that is the beginning of breaking this cycle and being able to unlock the door. So what about the commandment? Jesus says, you've got to keep the commandment, and then the Spirit will come into your life. But if you follow this argument all the way through his upper room discourse with his disciples, read it to the end. Read it to the end of the chapter. Ultimately, he says, and I have a new commandment for you. If you want to keep my commandments, here's a new commandment. This is my commandment. That you love one another. And suddenly the door's open. You know that thing that we need to know, but we can't know because it's locked inside the room on the other side of the door? That thing, you belong to God, you belong to me, you are mine, you are not an orphan. I am your mother, your father, your family. That thing that we can't know because it's on the other side of the door, you know who's supposed to tell me? You are. You know who's supposed to tell you? I am. This is my commandment, that you love one another. That in your living out your life, you remind one another, we are brothers and sisters whose Father in heaven is crazy about us. It's not the Holy Spirit's work to do alone. It's the Holy Spirit's work to do in community. This is not just about getting along. It's not just about not having arguments in our church meetings. This is about being the very Word of God to each other, the very Spirit of truth to each other. There is something you need to know that I can tell you. God loves you. Watch, I'll show you. And the door is open. And we're through to the other side. And the love of Christ can enter into us fully. And His Spirit can begin to be at work with us as we continue to be more and more and more obedient. I need you to remind me who I am in Christ Jesus. It's a story about some parents who've got a little girl that's afraid of the storms. And you know, when she's little, it's cute and all because it thunders and she comes running into the bedroom and she jumps into the middle of the bed between mom and dad and she curls down under the covers and pulls them up over her head. I'm scared, she said. But after a little while, it starts to get old. Every time it rains, here's the little girl across the hallway in bed at some point. Don't you get old enough to? And finally, the father stumbles onto a theological solution to the problem. She comes running across the hallway. She jumps into bed after a thunderclap. He says, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. He says, honey, you don't have to be afraid. God is with you. That's brilliant. I wonder why in all my years of parenting I didn't think to say that. Don't be afraid. God is with you. It's true. And so he picked her up and he took her across the hallway back to her own bedroom and he put her back in bed and he said, "Now just remember, honey, the next thunderclap that comes, just remember, God is with you. You don't have to be afraid. God is with you." And he goes back to his bed and he elbows, "Well, I think I fixed this." Like most things we think we fixed, gentlemen, this did not work. Next clap of thunder. In she runs. Leaps headlong into bed, climbs under the covers between mom and dad. I'm scared. He turns to her and reminds her that they've already worked this out. "Honey, you don't have to be afraid. God is with you." She says, "Yeah, Daddy, I know, but sometimes I need God with skin on his bones." And friends, we all do. If you obey my command and love one another, then the Spirit will enter in and remind you that you're not orphans. You're not alone. You are children of God. And that makes all the difference. And when we forget, big time Disney fan. Any of you ever watched Finding Nemo? This is the original. There's been a sequel out, which I think I haven't seen, actually. But I love the character of Dory. In spite of it being about Marlin, it's called Finding Nemo. It's really about Dad Marlin looking for Nemo. And to me, the movie's about Dory. Dory has short-term memory problems. If you've never seen the movie, she can't remember who she is, where she's going, what's going on in life. But somehow or other, the two of them together go on this long adventure trying to find Marlin's missing son, Nemo. And they finally arrive at the address they've been given, and something awful has happened, and Nemo is no longer there. And so Marlin's ready to give up and to quit and to go home. And that's where this scene comes.
Hey,
Dory. If it wasn't for you, I never would have even made it here. So thank you.
Hey, wait a minute. Well, wait. Where are you going?
It's over, Dory. We were too late. Nemo's gone. And I'm going home now.
No, you can't. Stop! Please don't go away. Please. No one's ever stuck with me for so long before. And if you leave, I remember things better with you. I do. Look, P. Sherman, 42. I remember it. I do. It's there. I know it is because when I look at you, I can feel it. And I look at you and I'm home. Please. I don't want that to go away. I don't want to forget.
An advocate, the Spirit of Truth, that will remind you of everything that I've taught you, especially this: you're not orphans. Friends, we're not orphans in this world. We are beloved children of God Almighty. And that makes all the difference. So as we promised Andrew about half an hour ago, let's never let each other forget. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy in me may be full. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let God's people say.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church. growing disciples who make a difference.